Word of Faith Ministries, establishing the kingdom of God and changing lives with the message of faith and the grace of Jesus Christ with a practical, biblical, and balanced teaching you can trust.
Welcome to another study series titled, The True Prosperity. The True Prosperity. And today's subject, depending on where and when you're watching us in the Monday, in the morning, or in the afternoon, where does true prosperity begin? Now, I'm going to start the very basics because this will help you in your life. Unfortunately, there are many doctrines, many teachings, but not all doctrines that you hear are biblical. Today, we're in a time and an era where this modern era, where Satan has come against the Bible. Satan has come against the Word of God. But we have the Holy Spirit. If you've been born again, we have the opportunity through the Holy Spirit and the written word. Very important. I'm going to say it in the correct order. We have the written word and the Holy Spirit. So these are two instruments that work together. And they're unchangeable. They're unfailing. And we can't fail if it is that we have them. If we let ourselves be guided by the Spirit of God and with the Word of God, we will never fail. We will never err in doctrine, in strange or unknown doctrines that go against the Word of God, or heresies. And we're going to stay with a balanced message, a biblical message, a good message in which you can trust. And it will also bring you results. It's always good to see results in our lives. You can trust in Word of Faith Ministries as a teaching biblical ministry that is balanced and solid. And you can also trust in that message. One promise that Nuvi and I did with the Lord is that we will never fall away. And we have maintained Word of Faith Ministries pure, sexually speaking. We are in no sexual scandals or things of the sort. I don't judge ministers that in this year or this past year, there was a scandal in the Word of God due to things that have to do with sexual issues. Others with issues of money and misuse of the funds. So Word of Faith Ministries has maintained ourselves pure, financially pure, and also pure in our doctrine. So that is our promise, first of all, with the Lord Jesus Christ and with you, our friends and faith partners, especially faith partners with Word of Faith Ministries. Now, pay close attention to what we're going to be speaking. Let's be guided by the Holy Spirit. Holy Father, we thank you. We give you all the honor and all the praise and our worship. And we ask in that spirit of faith, Lord, that you help us to deliver a clear word that can bless and instruct your children, that they can renew their way of thinking and renew their souls. We give you the glory, the honor, and the exaltation, and thank you for the help that you give us. You give us the correct utterance in the spirit, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, start in our basics. 3 John 1:2, Beloved, I desire above all things, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Notice the last part of the verse, just as your soul prospers. As you're renewing your mind and renewing your way of thinking. Notice how it says that you may prosper in all things. This means financially as well. But also the Bible tells us of something here. 1 Timothy. And in verse 10. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. And in verse 9 actually. 9 and 10. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, in a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Notice how it doesn't say just money. The word of God tells us clearly, the love of money. Money itself is a tool. In this moment, I'm sitting in front of a camera. There are many pieces of equipment, cables, a timer in front of me, a TV monitor. And simply, they're tools that we use. Some lighting equipment, a table, my Bible, etc. My iPad, a crew of 4 to 5 people in our recording booth doing their job. They're people, and they're people, that, and also we could say, without using it as just things, just in general, just people as the equipment. They're tools. But there's a purpose. Money in itself is not bad. It's the heart of the people that are evil. Notice again, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed away. The issue is when we use that money for our greed. They strayed away from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Verse 9. But those who desire to be rich. Again. Due to greed. For those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Now this year, remembering a few things, I've seen in my own two eyes how many churches, many pastors, some of them prominent leaders, have fallen due to love of money. The love of money will take you to many other lusts in the body. The lust for of perhaps the women, sexual desires, issues that have to do with women, adultery. In this moment, it comes to memory, a certain minister some years ago in the state of Florida, they found him dead in a hotel room with cocaine here in his nostrils. After that, his wife said that he had years, that he lived a double life. He would go on Sundays, preach, but he lived a double life. He had lovers, then he started using drugs. And the wife was lived miserably, knowing that her husband was cheating on her, and then had to go to church and put a face that was not their own as a happy matrimony, which they truly did not live. Now, if you notice, many times on social media, you can see families or matrimonies taking photos with a smile, and then those same matrimonies, we later learn that they're divorcing. There are times that you can see people, supposedly famous people or families, people in the natural, that you found eventually that he killed her or he killed him. But people are putting their sights on the wrong thing. True prosperity, although I believe in financial prosperity, and I preach it, and I will never be ashamed of preaching all of this as healing, as financial prosperity in a biblical way and balance. God wants us to have material things. But where does true prosperity start? This is something that very few Christians understand. True prosperity starts with an intimate relationship with the Lord. Intimate relationship with the Lord. We have a study series titled, What is Meditating the Word of God? You can obtain the four sessions. The first two sessions, What is Meditating the Word of God? Parts 1 and 2. And the other one is The Power of Eternal Life, Part 1 and 2. explain it with more detail. But today, in this study series, I want to explain something a bit more interesting. Thank you, Lord, help. In John 16, verse 3, John 16, verse 3. And these things, John 17, verse 3. And this is eternal life. And this is eternal life, praise the Lord, he told us, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And this is eternal life. The Lord says here, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Very clear. Very clear. In John, or Luke, apologies. Luke 19. Give me a moment here. For the Son of Man has not come to seek and to save. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. It does not say, in other words, it's not indicating that it's talking about a person or of him or her. It's talking about something. And about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God was lost. And when the kingdom of God was lost, that intimate relationship was lost. This is explained another way. The kingdom of God is the system of government of God. And inside of that system of government, we have spiritual laws. But when we also speak of the kingdom of God, when we say kingdom, there's also a king. If there's a king, there is a kingdom. One more time, if we have the kingdom of God and about a king, we speak of the king as well. There is no kingdom without a king. There is no king without a kingdom. When the kingdom of God is lost, that intimacy that we had with the king is lost as well. That communion, that intimate relationship with the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ said, this is eternal life, that they may know you. The word know there in John 17, verse 3, from the Greek, it shows an intimate relationship, literally, intimacy, as there is an intimacy between a matrimony, between a man and a woman. That same word, we can also see it in Genesis 4, verse 1. The word of God says, now Adam knew his wife, Eve, knew Eve his wife. Not saying, this is not talking about of Adam, this is Eve, this is Adam. Oh, very nice to meet you. Not talking about that. Talking about intimacy with the Lord, a relationship with God. Unfortunately, the grand majority of Christians, the average Christian, the expression simply means that the grand majority of Christians do not have intimacy with the Lord. Although they've been born again and have eternal life inside of them, they have not developed it. You can have something inside of you and never use it. You don't know how to discern the voice of God. You need to understand, your mind also speaks to you. Inside of the soul, we have our mind, will, and emotions. We hold a lot of information depending on the age that you are at. It's the information that in the natural you have in your mind. We start obtaining information the moment that we are conscious of things. Many of times, many of us have memories of perhaps we were 2, 3, 4 years old. Perhaps some of them are vague memories, not with a lot of detail, but we have memories. Some of us have memories of depending on our age, of the last 40 years, the last 45 years. We have a lot of information. Normally, all the information that we have is contrary to the Word of God. Be it because there's too much doubt, too much unbelief. We live in a society that is literally baptized. Baptized means submerged in unbelief, in fear, in doubt. Contrary to the Word of God. The grand majority of Christians have adopted a way of thinking according to the world. And they do not submit to the Word of God. I know that this may seem offensive for some of you. But you need to understand this. The Bible says this. You will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Not lie, my brothers and sisters. It is not lie that will set you free. It's the truth that will set you free. Lies will not set you free. The truth will set you free. And the grand majority of Christians, unfortunately, prefer a nice message that just rub your back, you know, to make you feel nice. Some people have told me over the years, just tell me, Brother Hughes, that everything will be all right. Me telling you that it'll be all right, there's no guarantee that everything will be all right. Because people don't want to have a relationship with God. Because you'll struggle to develop that intimate relationship with God. That intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I can assure you something, you will struggle. There's nothing more difficult, especially in this era of technology, than focusing on the Lord. It may seem easy, but at the same time, it's not as easy. Although I can tell you that it's easy, I should also tell you that it's difficult. The difficult is in submitting this soul to the Word of God. We have a lot of distractions nowadays with things like this. With things like these. If you don't understand that the same way that money is a tool, and that the phone, your iPad, or whatever it is that we have, is simply a tool. A tool is something that you use when it is necessary. But if you're honest, the grand majority of the society is backwards. These things, these devices, are using society. The average person, you can investigate. There are people who can spend 8, 10, 12 hours a day on their mobile devices. The majority of families, it is rare that the parents and the children sit down talking about the day, how their day was in school or in work or something that the Lord ministered to them. They're each on their own phones answering messages or phone calls, text messages and WhatsApp groups and groups of this, groups of Facebooks and groups of Messenger and groups and groups and groups. And at every hour they're conscious of their phones and of their mobile devices. The grand majority of people spend more time on the light of their phone than in the light of the Lord, which is why they obtain the results that they have. Many of them get offended with God, or get offended with their pastor or the preacher, because the pastor or the preacher is telling them, this will happen in your life. The Word of God says so and so. And they think or say, no, it's not happening. Many live a life out of condemnation. Many live a life of just having pleasures in their body, having food, going out on vacation, traveling, doing this and that. And of course, traveling has their place. It's not wrong. I'm saying priorities. Many people are in debt, and even with that, are not good administrators. You know why? Because they don't want to hear the voice of God. I can assure you, when a person is in debt and wants to get out of debt, normally the Spirit of God, what you're going to guide you, is to be a better administrator. I'm going to go develop it a bit better. What I'm referring to when I say that you're going to struggle, it's the most difficult. Let me explain something. I have to use the Bible here. The book of Hebrews, There's a point here that's very important. I'm going to ask Multimedia to please help me also with the New Living Translation. First, I'm going to read it in our translation. Hebrews 4 and then 11. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same experience of disobedience. That word there in Spanish says, try, if you were to translate it. Now let me see the version in New King James. Verse 11. This one in English says, let us be diligent. Enter into that rest. King James Version, the original, let us labor. Enter into that rest. Let us work to enter into that rest. It may seem like a contradiction when you speak of rest and when you speak of laboring or working. It may seem like a conflict because they're words that are contrary. Normally, if you have an idea, if I were to tell you to have an image of someone that is resting, or you yourself, you might see yourself sitting down on one of these chairs back here, be asleep or reading something, or watching your mobile device. You won't have an image of painting a wall or cutting the grass in your yard, or perhaps taking out the trash or washing your car, because there are images that are contrary. There is that effort, that work. That is where that where we are going to have to make an effort is focusing on the word. The great effort. It's disciplining the mind and this body in thinking in the Lord. Some people have told my wife, oh, it's because your husband is very strange. Brother Hughes is very strange. Very few people have told me that in person. It's because you're very strange. The answer is always the same. When my wife has told me, they told me that you're very strange, I say, well, tell them that they're the strange one. And when someone tells me you're very strange, I say, you're very strange, especially if you're a believer. Because you can't understand the language that I'm using. The Bible says in Isaiah 26, 26 verse 3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. It says you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind stays on you. Now the Living Translation. Same verse. You will keep in perfect peace all those whose thoughts are fixed on you. If I tell you, as a child of the Lord, or as a believer, you have to think on the Lord all day, a grand majority of Christians are going to tell me, you're crazy, I have other things to do. I can't be thinking on God all day. Nevertheless, the Bible here tells you that. Now, if I tell some of you, you have to think on God, you're going to say, well, that's crazy, I can't be thinking on God all day. Nevertheless, the Bible tells you. If the Bible tells you something, it's because you can do it. It's not something that you can't do, but you can do it. But that's where that struggle is at, because it's easier to be thinking on trash or to let the Bible put that trash in your mind. And the day can go by. And go by in other things. And when you less realize it, it's already nightfall. You have to go to sleep again. There are people who sleep very few hours. Now, this is another subject that people are sleeping less now because they're addicted on their phones. It's surprising, and I'm not referring to people of the world. The world will get worse and worse and fall into darkness. I'm referring to many supposed Christians. My brothers and sisters, this is no condemnation. I don't want you to feel condemned. I'm not criticizing anyone. I want to tell you something to help you. There are some things, not all, praise the Lord, by the grace of God, but many things I had to learn them, as they say, in the school of the hard knocks. And I'm telling you so you can avoid having issues that I went through, or situations that I went through in my life for not having developed a relationship with God, a strong relationship. Nowadays, I don't pretend that I've reached there, but you know what? I've left. I haven't reached my destination. But a while ago, someone asked me, a relative time ago, what is your vision? And I responded with a question. Are you talking about me? My vision? I answered. And I said, continuing to develop an intimate relationship with God. The Apostle Paul said, Philippians 3. Now, why am I saying this? What does this have to do with prosperity? If you follow me in the next few sessions, you'll understand this, what I'm referring to. You'll understand what I'm saying. Of course, I'm in favor that a believer lives well, have money, and have things. But if you understand that true prosperity begins with a strong relationship with God, you will never go away. You will never be cold. Many people use you sayings and just say, oh yeah, God is my source. Everything that I have, God has given me. But their lifestyles, the way that they think, is very distant of what they proclaim with their mouth. When you say, God is my source, everything that I have in material, God has given me, you know what, my brothers and sisters? You'll see it. One of these things is that you are a generous person in your local church. Another is that you're a person of integrity. You're an honorable person. You're a person that you give honor. You give respect to others, to your leaders in faith, to your brothers in Christ. You're a person who puts God first. You're not an impulsive person who lets yourself be guided by desires or by impulses or by what other people say. But you know how to hear from God. You put God first in everything. Easy to put God in our mouths or even with our acts is how you'll put God first. In Philippians 3, by the time Paul wrote the book of Philippians, it was between the year 61, 62. Paul had many years in the ministry. He was already a man recognized in his ministry, talking about a mature person in the Lord, an apostle. He didn't start as an apostle, but by this time he was an apostle. And many millions of Christians respected and honored him. Notice what he said here. 3:7. But what things were gained to me, these I have accounted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss. Things loss, I mean something that is of no value for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ. Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. Now, if you see that word there, loss or rubbish, I know it sounds strong, what I'm going to say. But what Paul is trying to say here is, I have it as excrement. And be found in him. Verse 9, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is from the faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Verse 10, that I may know him The Apostle Paul here was still saying and putting pressure in developing more his relationship with his Lord, with his Creator. He called him here my Lord, verse 8. Meaning my own, my Lord. He didn't just say the Lord, he said my Lord. Glory to God. Some of you need, you urgently need this first announcement that now that new relationship can start.
The Word of God says in Romans 10, 9 through 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For in the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you have not received Jesus Christ, you have not been born again. Therefore, you have to take the next step. I am not speaking about a religion or changing your religion. I am speaking about you receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior. I invite you to make this confession with me. God, in heaven above, I come before you to receive the gift of life, to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. I believe that you raised him from the dead. I believe he is alive and he reigns. Jesus, I give you my life and I invite you into my heart. From now on, God, I can call you Father. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for receiving me as your child. Now, if you have said this prayer, you have been born again. Welcome to the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to God's family. And remember, with all thy getting, get understanding. The word says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight.
Do you have any questions regarding this teaching? Visit our website at npfccc.org and click on the questions section to submit your question for Pastor Ignacio Hughes. The Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Thus, as God's children, it is important for us to become disciples. If you visit our website, you will find study material in the Bible study section where you'll be able to hear or download content. You may also give a donation to help us continue spreading the good news of the gospel.
We want to know about you and what God has done in your life. Please visit our website, npfccc.org, and click on the testimony section and share with us the wonders of the Lord.
We are grateful for your continued prayers and financial support, which are important for spreading God's word around the world. Giving to our ministry is both simple and secure. Please visit our website, npfccc.org, and find the giving section where you will find a variety of giving options. To make a donation, fill out the donation form, enter your desired contribution amount, select the specific fund you wish to give to, add your preferred payment method, and click the Give button to finalize your donation. Upon completion, you will receive a confirmation of your donation. We want to reassure you that any amount you decide to give is a blessing and appreciated in our ongoing mission. Thank you for your support and for partnering with us.
All right, I'd like to thank all our friends and faith partners of Word of Faith Ministry for all your help, all your financial support. If any of you are not faith partners with Word of Faith Ministries, consider doing so. We have a great variety of biblical material to study in our app as well. Completely free. You can download it in Google Play and App Store. And there is a great variety of biblical sessions in audio format, video format. The grand majority are free. And a good amount of videos on our YouTube channel. If you have not subscribed, please consider doing so. Word of Faith Ministries in English and in Spanish. You can subscribe, give like, and turn on notifications. If constantly extracting spiritual information, consider being a faith partner with Word of Faith Ministries. And help us to take the word to different places around the country via television, radio, and internet, and also physical material like DVDs, CDs, and USB drives. So thank you beforehand to all those who considered it in prayer. And thank you. Now continuing with our subject of today, where the true prosperity starts. Let me show you something here with the Bible. Remember in Solomon. In Solomon. 2 Chronicles 11. Chronicles 1 verse 11. Then God said to Solomon, because this was in your heart, and you have not asked riches or wealth or honor in the life of your enemies, nor have you asked long life, but have asked wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may judge my people over whom I have made you king. Wisdom and knowledge are granted to you, and I will give you riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had who were before you, nor shall any after you have like. If you study the Bible, Solomon had an intimate relationship with God. But nevertheless, at the end of his life, he got cold and went away from the things of the Lord. So this is an example that we can stop having that intimate relationship. The Apostle Paul had something in his life that he would continue having that intimate relationship with God. Remember, Paul was a Pharisee, and he knew very well what the Pentateuch, the first Bibles of the law, and he knew the story of Solomon. So Apostle Paul, his method here was to go forward in that relationship. Nevertheless, Solomon at the end was lost. At the end, Solomon started having relationship with pagan women, left his relationship with God, and ended wrongly. Nevertheless, here we see something tremendous that God gave him. He gave him riches. So if you do not take care of your relationship with God, doesn't matter what happens, doesn't matter how much money you have, there is an inevitable, there is a beating warning there. And regardless of how much you have, how much money you have, a home, you have a car, you have food, you could do whatever you may think you want. You could say, I don't need God. And if you get sick, you could go with the best doctor. But how sad to have a life that way. The Bible says that the ungodly does not have peace. So many Christians are Christians because they've been born again. Nevertheless, in their minds, they're ungodly. And they let all that ungodliness enter into their life and control them. Which is why we have a great amount of Christians who end their lives. Or if they live, they live a miserable life. They never have pleasure for anything. Unfortunately. Now, but let's see King David. Now, King David, although he made errors, he never ran away from God. He ran towards God. He would repent. And look at what the Bible says. First Chronicles. 29 verse 12. This is a prayer of King David. David is saying here, both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might, and your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. 14. But who am I, and who are my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. Now, 1 Chronicles 29:27. So he died in a good old age, full of days and riches and honor. And the period of that reigned over Israel was 40 years. So he died in good old age, full of days and riches and honor. And Solomon, his son, reigned in his place. But notice how Solomon died in good age, full of days, full of riches and glory. Died in peace, loving the Lord in a strong relationship with God. But if you study how Solomon ended, there's something important in a relationship with the most tremendous thing. Now, unfortunately, the average Christian can cite John 3:16, but they don't understand it. In John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The majority or the grand majority of Christians see eternal life like dying and going to heaven. But it's not talking about that. If we see again, John 17 verse 3. Notice what it says. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God. So the word here, to know you, means an intimate relationship with God. You cannot do something as, oh, when we go to heaven, where do we know God? Actually, where were we saved? Here on this earth, not in heaven. Our relationship starts here. Eternal life starts here. It's a present possession, not something in the future. Now, surely we will live eternally with the Lord in the future, but eternal life starts here. We could read it like this, John 3:16, with a correct understanding. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have an intimate relationship with God. And this is God, John 17:3, and this is eternal life. This is eternal life, that they may know you. That they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That they may know you, this is eternal life. When you have a strong relationship with God, your faith will work better. You will hear the voice of God. You will hear. You can listen. We can hear many different things. In our mind, listening is the correct term. When you listen is when you pay attention. You pay full attention, or in this case, to someone. And you will not be like the grand majority of Christians who take decisions out of necessity or under pressure. The worst thing you can do, brothers and sisters, is taking a decision out of pressure or out of pressure from the people. You will get into deeper issues. There are many impulsive Christians, and the reason why they are so impulsive is because they trust only in their own strength, in their own intelligence, in their own understanding. It's easy to say that you trust in God, but your acts show the contrary. But if you truly start believing in the Lord, not only will you say it with words, but your acts will confirm it. There is nothing more important than to understand this subject that I'm saying. Your relationship with God is priority. Your intimate relationship with God is priority. If you're a father of a family, you will receive wisdom to guide your children. I was talking some time ago with my son Anthony and with some of my daughters. I was sharing with them how my pastor, who is in heaven, told me something in the summer of 2006. My son Anthony, the eldest, was born in 2004. My second daughter, born April 2006. When my pastor, who is in heaven, told me something in the summer of 2006, my daughter Summer was around 3 or 4 months old, recently born. And my pastor told me the times will come so dangerous that the devil will come against children and the youth, and now we're seeing it in these modern times. 2006, we still didn't have our smartphones. We didn't have all the technology that we have today. And he told me, Nuvi and you are going to have to hear the voice of God to be able to raise your children in the Lord and not lose them. Lose them in the world, that they'll go to the world, get cold. You'll have to have wisdom, direction. Wisdom from God is so tied to an intimate relationship with God. Because when you have an intimate relationship with God, you'll know exactly what to do, because God will be telling you. You'll hear constantly the voice of God. You'll hear the warnings that God tells you. You'll know exactly what to do and how to act, and actually how to act to avoid things. Avoid disgrace, avoid issues. Many people are just comfortable with just saying, oh, we're all humans, we all make mistakes. But yeah, there are issues. Perhaps some of us in our lives, in some moment in our lives, have committed a mistake. But it was all because we did not hear the voice of the Lord. But the more we hear that voice of the Lord and have that relationship with God, I give you my word, the errors will diminish greatly. Problems and issues that we may have, the grand majority will be simply attacks from the devil to discourage us, or the devil will use people and circumstances to come against us, to stop us. But that'll be from the devil. It will not be because we gave place to the devil. In the two areas that the devil will always try to come against or comes against. But one of them is because we give place to the devil. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 1 verse 4, do not give place to the devil. There is a difference between giving place to the devil, because we gave him place to, when Satan comes against us, to bother us, to stop us, to discourage us, to make us doubt the word. Amen. I give you my word, your life will be much easier. Hearing from God will make life easier here on this planet Earth. Hearing from God will diminish the issues of life. I'm not saying that we'll never have issues. I'm saying it will diminish the issues. We'll have issues because we live on a fallen earth in a perverse world, where the Bible calls it the God of this world, with a lowercase g, 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4. In this case, the unbelievers here, in its context, it is talking about the world, and the devil will use the world. Ephesians 6, verse 12. Look at what Ephesians 6, 12 says. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. In other words, the people are not the issue, but the devil will use issue. But against principalities, against powers, rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. But we have to be firm in the word of God. Hearing from God is the principal thing. Being able to hear from God is the principal thing. Having that intimacy, communion. Coming to God and asking for nothing. Now, there are times where we ask for something. In our time of prayer, we will have to bind and release and pray in other tongues and intercede. And we'll declare the word, and we'll declare healing, etc. We should, if you have some necessity, It's dumb to not inquire God. I'm saying when we simply, you'll seek God for who he is, not to obtain something from him. So it's good to obtain things from him and say, God has given us what we have. It won't be your motive. And you'll, when you'll have an urgent need to constantly be connected in the spirit with, you'll simply praise God and pray and thank him and speak to him as if you were speaking to a person, because God is a person, perhaps with more respect than any other human being. But you'll talk to him and say, Father, thank you for this day. Father, thank you for this day. Father, good night. Thank you for going to sleep. Like, I know that you do not sleep. The Bible says that you do not sleep. But I do sleep, so I want to say good night. Thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for the victory that you have given me. Thank you for the good that you are. Start thinking, Adam and Eve, before the fall, before losing that relationship, they didn't have to cast out demons nor to do their healing. They weren't asking for anything. God had provided everything for them. They had a strong relationship with them. Notice in Revelations 4 verse 11, before closing, I want to finish up quickly. 4 verse 11. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. The word there, by your will, can also be translated from the Greek, for your pleasure. Psalms 100 verse 3. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his shepherd, of his pasture. He made us, all creation, including ourselves. Chapter 3, we see an interesting verse here, an interesting passage. In Genesis 3, this was after the fall of man. 3 verse 8. So what happened here? And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden. What does that mean? In the Hebrew, it denotes that it was a habit of God to spend time with Adam and Eve, to speak to them. They had communion. They had an intimate relationship. He would walk with them. Wasn't that Adam and Eve were going and asking for things? They had everything. It was intimacy. When you have intimacy with the Lord, start with something simple. Many Christians say, well, how do I start, Brother Hughes? If I go to your home, and suppose you love me, you have respect for me, yes, a certain level of respect for me, and I sit down to talk with you in the kitchen, but your phone is ringing, people come in, and you're paying more attention to the people, and I'm just there with a cup of coffee, and you say, oh, hold on, Brother Hughes, I need to attend this call, and then I continue talking, and then you say, oh, give me a moment, I need to send a text message to so and so, and then someone comes in from your family, this person. Practically, I was ignored throughout the whole time that I was there in your home. That shows then that you don't respect me so much and you don't love me as much. From the same way, I want to say that nowadays people are so busy. Even in the things of the ministry, we can be busy speaking in the ministry and doing the things of the Lord and not have the time for God himself. We have the time to serve him, but we don't have the time to be with him, and that's wrong. Now our service becomes dead works. This becomes part of our dead works, not out of love. But when you have an intimacy with him, you just sit down and spend time with him. No one and nothing is more important. And actually, you turn off your phone, you turn off your computer, you turn off your television, and spend some time with him. There are Christians who have made everything so by the book, that when they start reading the Bible and the Lord starts speaking of their Bible for their own good, they ignore him. Some of them are even willing to say, Lord, hold on, I'm reading your word. Which is why when you read the Bible, you sometimes have to stop, because the Lord will start ministering for your needs, for certain things for you. There are other Christians who start praying and want to have two visions, a word of wisdom, three words of knowledge, two prophecies, see an angel, and they think that they're super mega spiritual and they're the most carnal people ever, some of them. Is there harm in that? No, I believe in it. I believe in prophecy, words of wisdom. I believe in words of knowledge. But I'm not seeking any of these. Ever since I learned this, what I'm talking about, of a few years speaking, perhaps 15 years, around 15 years that I started practicing a relationship with God, I've gone through some marvelous things. I've seen things. I've had visions where, best if I don't even mention, because I don't want to give that idea that I'm super spiritual. And then people make a doctrine out of that, that, oh, I have to see visions. No. Actually, the Bible says in Hebrews 11, it is impossible to please God. You have to start with that relationship with God. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please God. And speaking, spending time with him. And he'll talk to you. Don't seek something supernatural. Start by faith, although faith is supernatural, but start by faith. Let him talk to you, that he communicates with you, how you communicate with him. Don't rush these things. Take time. Now, God knows everything inside of you. But as you start knowing him more and more, that relationship will become stronger. It will develop. And I'll tell you something. Your lifestyle will be seen. You won't take stupid decisions. The grand majority of Christians take some such stupid, such foolish decisions out of the flesh, because it's that they take their own decisions. Start telling the Lord, Father, what clothes do you want me to put on today? If you have to go to church, start saying, Father, do you want me to go to church? Do you want me to stay here? If he says stay here, it's because he wants you to spend time with him. Don't just start watching that show of unbelief and cursing and adultery. He's not going to tell you that. Really, if you're going to spend time, quality time with the Lord, although he will also speak to you through the word, as he spoke to me through my pastor, that terrible times are coming. I remember he told me this as well. My pastor who was in heaven said, when I came to the Lord, when Belen and I came to the Lord, and that his husband, or his wife's name was Belen, they are both now in heaven, and the only son they had, when I came to the Lord, he was already a teenager, and he gave me some advice. My pastor who was in heaven told me, but talk with Fred Price. Fred Price had his children always since they were younger in the things of the Lord. He can give you more understanding and wisdom. And that's what I did. And they helped me, my pastor in heaven and Frederick Casey Price, who was also in heaven. They gave me fabulous advice of how to take care of my children. The Lord spoke to me through them. Not just those words, but those words, I sought them here in the Bible. I spent time with the Lord. There is guaranteed victory in these things. My brothers and sisters, this is vital. It is a life or death, actually. So your faith will develop. The Apostle Paul, Apostle Frederick Casey Price, told me, 2016, Palos Verdes, California, Ignacio, a strong faith is born out of a strong relationship with God. A strong faith is born out of a strong relationship with God. That changed my life. He took me to another level starting from 2016, because in 2001, 2011 were the most difficult years of my life. Although I saw lots of victory, but there were things that were just difficult for me, because I was lacking that ingredient, which for me was developing that relationship with my Lord. Glory to God. If some of you have been blessed tonight by this word, we thank you. Thank you for all financial support. I invite you to sow into our ministry and be a faith partner with Word of Faith Ministries. Father, I thank you for every person that will sow based on what they heard. This word ministered, I pray that it ministered to their hearts and their spirits. You're the one that guides them. And I stand in agreement with them of an abundant harvest, and they lack nothing in their home. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank the Lord. This was another broadcast of the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. God bless you greatly.
We hope you have enjoyed today's teaching brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries. For more information about our ministry, contact us at 480-458-8618 or visit our website, mpfccc.org.
Be the first to be notified of our latest streamings by subscribing to our YouTube channel, Word of Faith Ministries. Don't forget to like, comment, and share.